Fry Show.
We who believe in the freedom to live safe from gun violence will finally pass universal background checks, red flag laws, and an assault weapons ban. We who believe in reproductive freedom will stop Donald Trump's extreme abortion bans, and when Congress passes a law to restore reproductive freedoms, as President of the United States, I will sign it into law.
Oh, what you know, Joe?
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Well, he's also the author of Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys, which you can get right now, and he's with us. Joe, welcome back. It's a new ball game from the last time you and I had a conversation.
Ever so slightly, right? I mean, man, can you imagine the last, like, 5 weeks, what's happened? You know, you had the debate, right? Then all these calls for Biden to drop out. Then the Supreme Court rules that Trump actually does have some immunity. And then they said, oh, by the way, that Jack Smith case, documents, you're going to throw that out now. The Judge Cannon did that. Then there was only an assassination attempt on Trump's life. And then you had places like MSNBC still saying to this day, well, we're not really sure if he got shot. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is.
The U.S. Secret Service just completely falling apart. Then Kamala Harris is installed as the Democratic candidate as Biden drops out. He still hasn't taken one question as to why he dropped out. And she still hasn't taken one question on anything. So that's where we are at this point. And it's quite a time to be alive, Annie.
You're 100%. I was on vacation for like two of those weeks. Wow. I don't know if it was a mistake or if it was the smartest move I made. But it was incredible to see the news headlines. You listed things there that could have been the top five headlines of the year that actually kind of got lost in the mix, like a lot of the dismissals of Donald Trump's legal problems. Those are huge, too, as well. And we're supposed to just believe that Kamala Harris, we're just going to rid ourselves of every wrong or everything that's ever been on her record ever. And she's just supposed to be the new not Trump. You think she can pull that off?
No, I honestly don't. I think that in the end, social media is this great equalizer. Fox News is a great equalizer. The Andy Fry Show is a great equalizer. So while they try to portray Kamala Harris as some sort of moderate and pretend that all of her past positions don't exist, it's just not going to fly. Because you can't hide the video, right? This isn't like Joe Biden, by the way, in like 1994 in the crime bill, and it's like this grainy video of him talking tough on crime. This is like literally like just a couple of years ago. And she looks the same, sounds the same. And when she says things like, I want to end the fossil fuel industry, I want to abolish ICE, I want to never even think about exploring Remain in Mexico policy or a border wall, or I want to keep sanctuary cities, I think they work. Do you want to end the private insurance sector? How's that going to work out? Oh, but you also want to give health care to illegals? You believe in late-term abortion? You believe that men should be competing against women? She said all these things. It's all on video. So I think once she debates Trump, then I think all of that gets exposed the same way Biden was exposed. And he could blame, you know, almost being dead. With her, her brain is broken. And you take her out of a teleprompter, Annie, and you take her out of prescriptive remarks, and it's the same thing as Biden. She has no ability to speak extemporaneously, and these positions are her positions, and she can't run from them.
You know, Donald Trump did the, for me, unimaginable in the Joe Biden debate, and he let Joe Biden be the headline, and it took Joe Biden out of the race. Donald Trump was masterful in that last debate in a way that I did not expect him to be that disciplined. I get real worried about thinking about another debate with Kamala Harris because, you know, he loves to compete. He loves to fight. What do you want him to do in that eventual debate should it happen?
No insults. Don't bring up DEI. Don't call her dumb. Don't play their game. Just simply stick to the 16 or 17 policy positions that I laid out, most of them, I think, and just hammer on it every time and then speak to the American people directly. Like, almost pretend like she's not there. You're not debating this person. You're taking your case right to the American people. You say, hey, Pennsylvania, she said that she 100% her words that she wants to ban fracking in your state. That will devastate your economy. She says she doesn't want it now. She's saying that only to get elected. She's going to change her mind once she gets back in. We all know this. Hey, Michigan, how do you like that electric vehicle mandate that Biden and Harris keep pushing? Because that's going to put thousands of auto workers out of work. Hey, Arizona, how do you like the fact that Kamala Harris let 10 million people into this country hundreds of terrorists on the FBI terror watch list, and she's compared our border agents to the KKK. So how do you feel about that? And if you agree with those positions, then great. Vote for my opponent. Don't even call her by name. If you don't, then I'm your guy because you already saw what my presidency looked like. And if you compare my presidency to this administration, I think it's an easy choice.
We're sending that, we're sending that advice straight to the Trump campaign. We're speaking with Joe Concha right now. I know we only got you for a few more minutes here, but I think that your new book that people can get right now, Progressively Worse, you're talking about today's Democrats versus the Democrats of generations before. There's an identity crisis out there with a lot of voters and the left. I was just talking about the problem that they have, especially with the conflict in the Middle East as it continues to get more tense. That issue is not going to go away. What do you make of people right now having that existential crisis on the left and what to do with it should they choose to vote for Kamala Harris?
I mean, I think what we're seeing here is a sugar high, right? They got rid of the old man, and I don't care who they would have put up there, whether it be Kamala Harris or Josh Shapiro, Gretchen Whitmer. I think in the end, you would see people just rallying around that person because it was an anybody but Biden type of thing because, well, they knew that he couldn't win. So as far as the existential threat, I think in the end, this still is about what I just talked about, how they still own their record on inflation, on crime, on the border, foreign policy. I mean, does the world, has it looked this unstable in decades? I mean, it feels like the whole thing's about to blow up. And once people start to get serious, and we're not talking about RuPaul's drag queens anymore, and that was her first interview, by the way, Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee, and you take away all the fluff, I think then in the end, at least in those swing states that matter, Trump wins, and he wins quite easily.
Do you think Kamala Harris has a better shot at a victory over Joe Biden?
Than Joe Biden? No, I just don't. Because with him, he could at least kind of relate to these union workers in places like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And I don't see how she connects with these people, given her past policy positions. And again, once you take her out of the teleprompter, she's not a likable person. Like almost her entire staff has turned over at this point. And you hear the horror stories. And again, this is a person who didn't receive one vote in 2020 when she ran for president, not one vote as a Democratic nominee in 2024. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, it completely. Joe Concha, thank you for being with us. We know you got to run. I want to encourage people to get your new book. It's out right now, Progressively Worse, Why Today's Democrats Ain't Your Daddy's Donkeys. Looking forward to listening into it. Thanks, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. He's a Fox News contributor. You can check him on Twitter, X, at Joe Concha TV. Speaking of, you know, every single time I have a guest on the show and I can identify whatever I choose to identify with them, but their Twitter handle or their X handle, every single time I say it, I have a quick panic attack. Do I say X or do I say Twitter? And did you see who was it tweeted at Elon Musk? I think it was Gavin Newsom off the top of my head. I think this happened over my vacation and said something disparaging about ever since Elon Musk bought Twitter and then was like, you know, all hell broke loose. And Elon Musk's response is, we really hate it when you dead name us. It's just like.
So great.
Set match.
It's amazing.
Did you see Kamala Harris's rally yesterday?
I saw parts of it. Whole thing. Yeah, a lot of people. You know what I saw is a video that after the music was done, that people were getting up and leaving.
It doesn't matter, though.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it doesn't matter if the people who vote for Kamala Harris even know who she is, if they vote. If Megan Thee Stallion comes and shakes her booty on the stage and becomes a draw to fill an arena full of people for Kamala Harris, if that same poll can make people show up during voting season or on election day, it does not matter. And I think that that's something that can be easily overlooked by people who are like, oh, they were just there to see Megan Thee Stallion. If they were, and they'll still translate that to show up to vote, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The question then becomes, if they're just there to see Megan Thee Stallion and then they leave when the politics part of it starts, are they even really going to be bothered to show up to vote?
Maybe. More likely to. I mean, these are low information voters exist on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
I know that Rush Limbaugh coined this term, and it's a very important thing to pay attention to, and he was smart, as per usual, to do so, but to highlight people who get all worked up in, like, October. And then they go vote, because it's trendy, but they don't know what they're voting for. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the people who are like, I gotta get me one of those Obama phones and my Obama money and stuff. Like, that was a repeat message that had been sent to voters to say, you got to vote for this because you're going to get that. Then they go vote and then they're like, give me my Obama phone. None of anything after the vote matters to anybody. They just need the vote, which is when we had Scott Pressler on the show yesterday. Encourage you to check that out on the podcast because he was very descriptive in how you can become a part of the solution. Yes, in red Missouri. Yes, in blue Illinois. How you can help where it matters. This election will come down to counties in swing states. Swing counties will decide who becomes the president in 2024. And he was very descriptive. He's earlyvoteaction.com. Know it off the top of my head. Have the app on my phone. You can go be a part of the solution by connecting right there. But you got to go out and get the people who don't have as much information on your side of the aisle, and you got to tell them why they got to vote. You got to be involved. You got to participate. It's not enough to vote. We all have to do our part to get people registered, to make people aware of what the situation is, to have real meaningful conversations with people who are, I mean, have you ever talked to someone and they're like, I'm not voting. They're all crooks anyway. That's a lot of people who think that.
Yeah.
They want to keep the system as far away from themselves because they don't want it to rub off on themselves. They're disgusted by it, probably rightfully so. But their solution is to not participate.
Right. And ironically enough, that solution to not participate, that solution not to get involved, actually perpetuates the cycle that they hate. You know, I was listening to another show the other day.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
It was after our show was off the air. Okay.
I thought you just podcast our show over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. I just listened to just go over and over and over. What can I do better here? But, I was listening to this person was all worked up because they didn't like the candidates that were on the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was Joe, even if it was Kamala, Trump, whoever, they didn't like it. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, but did you get involved in the primary?
Yeah.
You know, this idea that there is a I don't think the moderate middle is as big as everybody thinks it is. I think it's there. But this idea that there's this moderate middle out there. It's people who are complacent that don't vote in the primaries, and that's why you get the most extreme candidates out of the primaries, because the ones that are most involved in the primaries are the ones that are most, I don't know, wonkish on politics. They're the most involved. They want the most out of this, so they get in there, they push the issue, they get their candidate picked, and then those of you that don't participate in those things, you go, why do we have these crazy people as our candidates if you look at our candidates as crazy? And it's because you're not involved. It's because you don't vote. It's because you don't educate yourself on the voters and you just wait until October of the presidential election year and you jump in there and you vote. I mean, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. The fix to the issue that everybody sees in politics is the people.
I'm glad you brought up the primary because our YouTube poll for today, which I went back and forth about asking this because it's kind of isolating, but I know the people listening to this station are very passionate about it. And so I wanted to give you guys the opportunity to weigh in. Who do you support for Missouri governor? Of course, we got four options. I picked the top three that are running in Missouri on the Republican side. Ashcroft, Igel, and Kehoe in alphabetical order. And the fourth option is you're not in Missouri or you're supporting somebody else. So who do you support for Missouri governor? I think that they've worked very hard to delineate themselves from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how in some ways the messages from pick any two have kind of teamed up against the other one. There's a lot of that taking place as well. But you do have the opportunity in Missouri to set forth the direction that the state is going to go for the next 4 years. And it starts in the primary. Of course, you're going to show up on election day and vote for that governor party of choice come November 5th. But right now you got to pick the guy who you want to represent you. And, you know, maybe you're listening and you're supporting the Democrat, whatever. That's someone else. Or you're not in Missouri. Ashcroft, Igel, and Kehoe. Curious where our audience is. I understand that Kehoe has been on this show multiple times when I've been out. I think yeah. Mike Elam generally
Mike
gets
Elam
him in.
Mike generally has him on, yeah.
We've had Ashcroft and Igel on multiple times, and we're going to see about getting them back on the show. I know that some of them are asking to come back on, so we're trying to figure out how to fit them in before next Tuesday. But who do you got? And if you want to come onto the YouTube chat, come make your case for the candidate that you really want to see take that victory on Tuesday. The election is Tuesday, so you got to be prepared for that. Like G Wibbs, he says, "I'm in Illinois. I'll take whoever loses." And that's been I'm like trying to figure out how constitutionally we can just JB Pritzker, you go run for vice president. We'll take whoever loses. First runner up, you get the state of Illinois. It's a bigger state. It's a big mess. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Also, if you want to support one of those and you want to tell other people about it and you've got an X account, go out there and repost our live broadcast on Twitter. There, all the candidates are tagged in it, so everybody's got equal access to it. We're not trying to tip the scales. I truly don't have... people have asked me, like, Annie, who should I vote in the Missouri governor race? I'm not here to tell you who to vote in the Missouri governor race. I'm sure that Mark Cox and Mark Reardon have... I know that Mark Cox has a voter guide out. I don't know if Reardon does that, but... I didn't even really endorse in the Illinois governor race. And, you know, I was happy to support. We had all of those candidates. Mm-hmm. They all came in. They all came on. You know, I'm not really big in endorsements in general. I don't really want to tell you what to do. I'll tell you what I think about them. And then you can kind of put that together with what you think about them. But you're capable of making that decision. I have I've met all of them. I believe I met Kehoe at the governor's ball that I emceed a few years ago, but I think you have a lot of great options. So I'm curious. I want to learn from you today. You got to go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel to vote, though. Let us know. Ashcroft, Igel, Kehoe, or you're not in Missouri or you're voting for someone else. That's the poll for today. Let's take a quick break. We'll get Wiggins America in here. He's got unspoken rules for men. You okay? Let's see if Wiggins America has some sage advice for you men out there and the women who love them. We'll be right back.